NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Mikey and Rin stay in.
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Stay In. I'm Mikey, and today I'm only Mikey. Corinne will not be joining us today, but I wanted to pop in just to give everybody an update on things that are happening in our world. So, after the last episode, we were, I think, a little bit out from our 6.5 week ultrasound, which is where, you know, it's the heartbeat ultrasound. So this is, you know, where a lot of the Texas SB8 laws around this, you know, this is the time where you kind of first understand that the baby is viable and that it has a strong heartbeat and that you're able to kind of have some more confidence that the pregnancy is going to keep moving forward. This is also, I don't understand it completely from a baby development standpoint, but this is a time in the baby's growth where big changes are happening. So, you know, I think there's kind of the baby is this kind of nebulous blob until around this time when it kind of snaps into humanness. And so it's when it develops the heartbeat, it's when it starts developing kind of its own individual characteristics kind of away from the mother. And during the kind of, you know, 6 to 8 week window is when most miscarriages happen. And you can probably tell where I'm headed with this. The night before it was fucking 11 hours before the 6.5 week ultrasound. And Corinne started having, you know, some pain that was not normal for her. Her body is very kind of consistent around things, and she knows her body really well, and she knew that something was going on. She also started having some spotting, but not anything that was completely worrisome in that world. This is kind of a, you know, a time where you can spot a little, but it's not great. And so this was a weekend. I think it was a Sunday. And we reached out to the doctor that was on call for our IVF clinic, And, you know, at that point, fuck, I don't know. They're just trying to make you not flip out. And so they basically were like, you know, watch things and, you know, if it increases, if the pain increases or the bleeding increases, then definitely, you know, go to the ER. That was very much fucking not something that we were interested in. And for obvious reasons, but also just, you know, all the normal reasons of not wanting to go to an emergency room. But we also have just had bad experiences with emergency rooms. And when you're going in with a pregnancy experience, you know, and other people are coming in with like fucking gunshot wounds and knife wounds to the face, it's a disconcerting place to be. So the other thing that she said was it could be gas pain. And so Mikey shot out the door, went to Rite Aid, got some Gas X and some Tylenol, and Rinny took it, you know, I think both of us knowing that it wasn't gas. And so, but they said, you know, we had this appointment the next day. So she was like, listen, it's already on the books. Just come in, do the ultrasound. Which just felt like we knew what was happening. We thought Rinny was kind of passing a lot of clots and different things. We just thought that she was having a miscarriage and that the baby was gone, you know. So we went in the next day to our IVF for the ultrasound, our IVF clinic. And our doctor knew generally what had happened the night before. I don't think he knew the level of kind of completion that we thought had happened. But so he basically, you know, got Rinny in the stirrups and got her, you know, got the ultrasound wand inserted, which is, it's all just so violating. And like thinking about it from the perspective of the partner that's not going through IVF, it's just the cumulative effect of the amount of things that Corinne and all women have to go through in general, but also especially with IVF and pregnancy, it's wild. I just took this Everly Well company that sends you like, you know, you can do these blood tests and things at home. So I did a vitamin D test today where I had to prick my finger with a little lancet. And like I was in like a cold sweat, like dripping sweat from my hands, having to stab myself in the finger, even though my wife's an acupuncturist and I get fucking needled all the time. And like that's the hardest thing that I had to go through health-wise this month. And so just, you know, to see Corinne already going through what she knows is going to be a pregnancy loss, or thinks is, and then having to, you know, be wanded and all that, it's just too fucking much. So anyways, the ultrasound starts and he's like, oh, okay, so like here's the uterus and then here's the yolk sac and here's the baby. And we're both like, wait, what the fuck? Like the baby is still, I mean, I immediately went to baby still alive. This was just a blip. Holy shit. And he starts like, you know, checking for the baby's heartbeat. And, you know, first of all, you know, you put the mouse onto where the baby is and then you kind of like you spread out like a little measurement tool. And so I think what it does is it like focuses the microphone or whatever it is on that particular area. And so it's trying to pull just the baby's heartbeat, like not your heartbeat, any of that. And so what happened with our last pregnancy at this was it was like, you know, it should be like 110, 180 beats a minute. It's like super fast hummingbird heart. And it's loud in the room, like they have the volume kind of cranked up. But in this scenario, it was just this deafening, like white noise, just, you know. And I kind of can't think of a better sound to represent what it feels like to lose a baby and to go through kind of the deafening silence that we've gone through for the past 4 years. It felt so apropos. And that sound it felt so representative of the moment. It was like both of our internals just externalized completely. And so he, you know, good for him, but he went on for like 10 different times trying to find the baby's heartbeat. And, you know, at some point I was just like, hey bro, I don't think this is happening. It just feels like brutal at this point. So, you know, he was very appropriate and very sweet. But the other thing about IVF is that, you know, they're there to do the IVF. Like they're there to make the baby happen. And kind of if they haven't or when it's past their part of the process, they're like, you know, they kind of want to wipe their hands of it and get out. And so, you know, he apologized and was so sweet with us. But then it's kind of like, now you got to go talk to your OB and figure it out. So, like, either you're going to do a D&C, which means you're going to surgically kind of have the baby removed, or you're going to naturally pass the baby. But you have to kind of figure that out with your doctor. That's not really our gig. And which I appreciate that. I think probably some of it comes from like a legal standpoint or a legal perspective. And it feels like it should be a time when there's a white glove service, right? Like, here is the exact number that you need to call to get this shit done. And here are the steps that you're going to go through, because you're obviously not in a place right now where you're going to make like good strategic decisions. So we left, and that was part of it. And the other element that had happened in this loss that we hadn't had before was Rinnie has this thing called Rh factor, which basically means that she has a negative type of blood. So she has O negative blood and I have O positive blood. So if the baby develops O positive blood, my type of blood, Rinnie's O negative blood and the antibodies that her body might create would try to basically fight the baby. And so so what happens is, on your first pregnancy, if they identify this, around 28 to 30 weeks is when the baby kind of develops its own blood type. And so that's when they usually give this shot called Rogam. And the shot helps your body not fight off the baby, basically. But the other time that you get Rogam is after a loss, like an abortion or a miscarriage. If it's at a certain point, if it's at a time where you and the baby would have shared blood. So basically after 7 weeks. And so her first miscarriage 3 years ago or whatever it was, she had this Rogam shot. The abortion that happened last year, which was when we lost Katie at 23 weeks, we were unclear as to whether or not Rinnie had gotten this shot. It was all such a blur and it was so sad. And I don't know, it was just something we didn't clock. And so I started to get it in my mind that she had not been given that shot, and that contributed to this loss. So the new thing for me in this loss was fucking furious anger. And I had not had that before. I had had just kind of lows and sads and depression and just like feeling the devastation of it. But this was that plus blame and anger. And so I lost my cookies. I didn't do much outside of myself, but inside my head, it was a whirling, spinning, frothing, bubbling pool of anger. And also motivation to figure out what the fuck happened. So I talked to a couple different doctors. I talked to a couple different OBs who had a lot of things to say. One, it would be crazy if she hadn't gotten the Rogam. It would be a major whoopsies, like lawsuit style shit. The other one is that even if she hadn't gotten Rogam, this miscarriage was too early for it probably to have been a factor in what happened. And I think Rinnie and I both needed a reason for this. Because like the last pregnancy that we lost, Katie, that pregnancy was going perfectly except for till it didn't. It was a successful pregnancy until we had to end it because of an injury. So that was a reason. But this one we didn't have a reason for, and I just desperately needed one. And this was, and a blame, you know, blaming someone is a reason. So I, you know, went down this path and basically went into her files from the hospital that we had had the procedure at, didn't see much about the Rogam, saw that they knew that she needed it prior to the surgery, but did not see that she had actually gotten it. And so reached out to the doctor that had performed the procedure. And a day later, we got news back that Rinnie had, in fact, gotten the Rogam. And it had happened while she was under. So obviously, she wouldn't have remembered. And I think it also happened when I was in the room holding Katie after she had died. And so needless to say, fucking intense moment. And so understandable that we maybe didn't remember. And you know, it made me feel better, but it also now made it so there was basically no reason for this miscarriage. So there was, you know, it's one of these things. A lot of miscarriages happen at this time frame, but a lot of it is usually chromosomal, meaning that, you know, it's just this some chromosomal anomaly that happened that caused the, you know, the pregnancy to kind of kick and the body to say, like, this isn't going to be a baby that you're going to want to move through the next 9 months. And but we had the chromosomal testing done. We had intense testing done on this embryo. So that kind of takes that out of it. So on some level, it seems like it's just like it just didn't happen, or the miscarriage did happen, which is fucking hard because it doesn't leave us anything to grab onto, you know? And so, yeah. So basically, so we're now like a week out. Corinne basically, she passed what we think was the main part of the pregnancy. So the, where the baby would have been, I think it's the yolk sac. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I guess it's the yolk sac. It was a hard thing about the size of an egg. And yeah, so we think that it ended. And so she talked to, you know, we had a follow-up appointment with this doctor. Oh, Rini also got the Rogam shot this time. And then we had a follow-up appointment with an OB who basically said, you know, I think that you've done it all yourself. You're not going to have a DNC, but in 2 weeks, you're going to take a pregnancy test. And then we're going to kind of like see where that goes. So I think the idea is if you have pieces from the pregnancy still inside of you, I think it still shows that your HCG levels are raised. So that's what, you know, will show up on a positive blood test. And so that's fucking crazy. And so she might have to have a DNC, but we don't know. We're not sure. So anyways, it's hard because I think a lot of people think of a miscarriage as it's just like, and then, you know, it's done. It's just one moment. It's super sad, but it's also kind of like, you know, you can picture this kind of like violent. It's a miscarriage. It happens and then it's done. Actually, a lot of miscarriages take weeks. And, you know, Corinne is still having effects from it and still bleeding and it's becoming less, but it's just, it's really fucking painful. And it just feels like not necessarily physically painful, but it's just so emotionally drawn out and just too much. And so that's kind of where we're at this point. And, you know, obviously it's hard not to futurize and think about what we're going to do next, but we, you know, we are thinking about that stuff. It's also just, you know, life goes on and we're back to work and we're, you know, squeezing the last bit out of our beautiful fall. We did just plan a fucking sweet trip to Kauai where we're going to go for Thanksgiving because my family is going to be here for an early Thanksgiving at the beginning of November. So we're going to go chill out on the beach. And first of all, this Hawaii trip was so cheap. I don't know if it's like that Hawaii's not getting a lot of people there right now, but it was so cheap. So that's exciting. But more than anything, we just needed something to fucking look forward to because I was feeling a little bleak. And yeah, we, you know, we're just trying to like be as good of partners as we can for each other, but also understand that like we're going to grieve in different ways and we're going to, like, I need to talk about it. I need to do the podcast. I need to see friends and have beers and talk about it. I need to get mad about politics. I need to, you know, and Rini is more like she's been at the house baking and, you know, reading and kind of, you know, laying low, except for when she has to go to work and, treat kids, which we didn't think of at the time when she started her business, but, it's an unusual level of cruelty when you have to go and hang out with babies. So, that's a thing, but anyways, we love you guys. We just wanted to update you with kind of, I don't know, state of the union, state of the ununion, whatever the fuck we're going to call it. But yeah, it's things are great. We're good. You know, we Rini and I think you guys hear this in the podcast. I think it comes through, but we look out for each other. You know, it's like we are really like we see what the other person needs. Oftentimes, even when we're kind of both, it's usually like one of us is super down and then the other one's not. So that's kind of a helpful dichotomy to have. But even when we're both down, it's, you know, turn on some bad television, get some pizza rolling, bake cookies, make some juice, we actually went out the other night and had like a bunch of cocktails, which like Rennie is not, that's like Rennie doesn't really drink. And so, and obviously hasn't been, she's been trying to make a baby, and we had a fucking blast. So that meant something. It was great. But yeah, anyways, we love you guys. This is, you know, we're going to do another show here in a bit. I don't know what it's going to look like, because we're just kind of, you know, we're still in it. And I know that I might come back on for another solo mission. Who knows? But Rennie is just not really feeling up to chatting about it right now, and which I 100% get. And I don't want to force her to do, obviously. So the love that you guys have all given us means the world. The support that we're getting from our people, both that are followers of the show and then friends in our world, people that we don't even know that are reaching out, it's always been overwhelming. It's always been unexpected. And just know that we see it and we feel it, and it means a ton. So yeah, we love you guys. If you want to send us a note or anything like that, you can write to us through our Instagram page, which is at Mikey and Rin, or you can reach out through the website. It's let's eat at MikeyandRinStayIn.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Yeah. And we're here for you as much as you're here for us. So we love you guys. Should I sing alone? I'm Mikey, and tonight, I'm staying in and eating fucking cookies. That's all I got. Love you guys.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.